Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you recognise that, Judy?
It's like something from the early learning centre.
Well, you know me, I'm thinking, well, that to me, I don't know why they don't play that in the Albert Hall. I mean, when they do those dreadful proms. I'd like, just for a change, let's do something on a kiddie keyboard.
Listen, let's just listen to it for a minute.
It's like Three Blind Mice.
No, it's our Silent theme Night. It's our theme tune.
Oh, it's quite charming.
Oh, it is rather charming. Oh, it is lovely.
Almost brought a tear to my eye. But honestly, this is getting out of control, isn't it, Judith? We've had our theme tune. It's a bit like, you know, when chefs do beetroot any which way. or, you know, lamb, nine different varieties of. We've had that with our theme tune.
Well, is it any wonder, given that we are so very musical ourselves?
Well, if only we'd been able to sort of do something, you and I, together. But unfortunately, neither of us have any skills whatsoever, so we have to rely on our listeners and their musicality. And that was from Liz, but she'd borrowed Amelia's keyboard. And Amelia is Liz's stepdaughter, and she's disabled, but she loves a bit of music. And Liz is age 52 and three quarters.
Yay!
So thank well you, done, Liz. And thank you to Amelia. Thank you for lending your stepmum the keyboard. I wish it was a nicer word than stepmum, don't you? Do you think that should have gone
by now? I know what
now?
You mean. Yes, it should. And I tell you why it is. It's kind of, it takes you back to all those horrible fairy tales, doesn't it?
Where it's our generation. Maybe younger wicked. People. Yeah, maybe younger people don't have the same connotations, but you know, I think there's so many great stepmoms around.
Oh yeah,
I think
sure
it's time to update. It's time to update that. If you've got any ideas, let us know.
Yes, or maybe absolutely.
Just call each other by your name, whatever. So I wonder who and how our theme tune will be interpreted next, Judith.
Oh, that's setting down another challenge, isn't it?
Well, they've got 2 weeks to sort themselves out, haven't they?
They have. Judith? And do you know what I think we should be aiming for? I think we should be aiming for a number one at Christmas. Listen,
oh
we've got none of us will have anything else to do. We have nothing else to do, will we?
Well, I think that's a remarkably good idea, Judith.
Well, you sound surprised that I would have such a good idea, actually, Jenny.
I almost fell off my chair.
Damn bloody cheek. No, I think that's the challenge. I think that's the challenge, don't you? The older and wider number one.
Yeah, we want some choirs. Get some choirs. Oh, socially distanced choirs. Oh, God, Zoom choirs.
Oh,
yeah,
they're doing that everywhere. They're doing, I think, you know, they're doing the ukulele, aren't they? And all that stuff.
On the Zoom, yeah. I want the theme tune done on spoons or beatboxing. I like the idea of an over 50s beatboxing squad.
I don't know what a beatbox is. What do you mean a beatbox? Is that beatboxing?
Yeah, that was bad beatboxing.
Quite bad.
Yeah, really bad beatboxing. Because do you know what, Judith? I am many things, but I ain't no beatboxer. No, the young people do. It's making percussive noises with one's mouth.
Gosh.
Some people are really, I think, you know, go and have a little Google at the best beatboxers in the world.
Okay.
And I think it'll knock you out.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, so what we're saying is it could be beatbox. Doesn't have to be. Could be percussive, you know, because we've got quite a lot of anger issues in us, haven't we?
You know,
as a gang.
Just, thump it out on some table mats with, you know, a wooden spoon. You can do anything you like.
Let your imaginations run riot.
Listen, we've got to explain that we're going away. We're having a week off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you're everybody's going away.
Yes, Daisy's going away to a well-deserved holiday in the sunshine.
She needs a break. Mm. She needs a break from us.
She does. Well,
I've got
does.
My fingers so tightly crossed that they managed to get away. God, I mean, because it's a little bit up in the air at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Everything is. Everything is.
And you are going on your painting holiday.
Yes, I hope I am. Yes, I know. I mean, there's another announcement, isn't there, today? But yes, I'm going on my painting holiday to the Norfolk School of Painting, and I'm very excited.
The thing is, what if at lunchtime, while you're on the motorway,
I know.
I think maybe you should just leave the radio off. What if you get? What if they say that? Know, and listen, how long is your painting holiday? You go today, so you have Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night.
Three full days of painting. Okay. And what I'm particularly excited about is that I think it's the kind of painting school where you kind of go there and you feel like a proper artist, because I think they just, you know, they've got everything laid out. Do you know what I mean? I think they've got all your palette already.
So they've got assistants in the studio. Well, they don't want you. Yes. That's what they're called, Judith. They're just assistants in the studio. Yes. Yeah, because they don't want you lot milling about. Yeah, you're not allowed. No, you see, because otherwise they'd be sort of dithering over brushes and stuff.
They would. You know, there'd be the fight. Yeah, I know. Well, do you know what? I think there might be, because I know the last art course I went on to, there was a fight for the elbow room and the best spot. But yeah,
especially when they're doing life modelling, the worst thing is when you get the easel where facing the model's feet and you've got that foreshortened thing.
Oh,
and
Jenny,
it's impossible. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Get that slot.
Oh, absolutely. And that has happened to me. And yes, so the more experienced ones will be jostling for positions. So I think we've got allocated brushes and allocated all of that. So that's what sounds very nice.
And do you know what you're
it?
Going to be painting? Are you painting still life?
Do
you don't know yet.
And
what are you hoping to achieve, Judith?
Oh,
do you want to come
it sound
out
like
of
I'm being properly interviewed here.
Yeah, just for a second. Then it's my turn.
Yes, wait.
I'm backing up.
Or as I would say to Poppy, stay.
Stay. Yeah, but I haven't got a sausage, so I might not, you know.
Oh, God.
Right, what do you want to
cackle
learn
again
from this?
I think I'd like to find out what my style is, really. But do you know, the problem with that is that means you've got to have individual time with teacher.
And I think that might be a bit of individual time.
I do. I'm quite good at hogging that.
Yeah. That's your biggest problem in life. You want one-on-one constantly. Seriously, that's why you've had to get a dog.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Well, I got plenty of one-on-one with a dog. But yes, I'd like to know about my style and composition. Actually, seriously, I would like to know about composition, because I kind of think, you know, that's kind of very key, isn't it, really? I've been doing some still lives and things recently when I've had time. Yeah. And they're kind of, you know, basically they're floating in midair. I need to know, you know, do you know what I mean?
You need some depth.
Compose.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
No, I don't think it's the composition then that's the problem. It's, for me, it's getting a 3D aspect. So things don't float. I do come from the flat earth school of drawing. Everything's a bit two-dimensional or even one-dimensional. I think what we both need then, I'm not sure your composition is all that bad. Sometimes I think we have, both of us, run the risk of putting things in the middle. And you know, if you have a bowl of fruit, it should always be to one side. Maybe with a piece of fruit that's rolled out of the bowl. Because the composition of your eye is meant to move around the painting. I remember that from my A level.
Well,
I copied a painting the other day, Judith. I follow on the Twitter several art things, you know, and they put up paintings. And I saw this painting of a doorway and I just thought, oh, I like that. I like the strength of colour. An open door with a hedge and a sort of bit of a proscenium archy bit. Mm-hmm, and I thought, and sometimes a picture calls you.
Oh, definitely.
Or a still life calls
definitely.
You. Definitely. That's my cup of tea. I'm going to do that. Yeah. And even though I was copying it, Judith. I mean, I wasn't tracing. I'm not like that. I'm not a cheat. God's
sake. Sure?
I wasn't using a ruler and some tracing paper. But in some respects, I wish I had. Because even though I was copying, I got the perspective wrong.
Oh, perspective is tricky, isn't it? Every time somebody explains it to me, I glaze. I glaze a bit. Do you glaze?
Yeah, I glaze over everything, Judith. That's I've realised.
Fiddly bits. Yeah,
I've gone through my life glazing. Glazing and just switching off and in my head, la, 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 la,
yeah,
la,
I know, boring now. I know. But
Jeff
that's exactly
it
what
goes,
I've done.
Well, where's your vanishing point? You've got to know where your vanishing point is. And I think, I wish you'd vanish. That would be the point of vanishing. You can vanish.
Yes, I know. There are people who are, I don't get vanishing points. Have you actually got it? Have you grasped
it? He points it out. He says, well, it's there, obviously. And I go, oh, yes, of course it is.
Well, even if you knew where it was, I'm not sure it would help me. But I'm on full glaze when people start it. And the trouble is, you can't keep asking Miss, can you? Because
well,
you know,
no,
I've
you can't,
Miss
Judith, because I've been in a teaching environment with you, and in the end, Miss has to get quite strict with you. And she has to say things like, Judith, I think you'll find the instructions are on the instruction sheet. You just have to read them.
I know.
Yeah.
I
when teacher snapped at you, I really smirked.
Yes, I know you did. I wish you were coming with with me. We'd have had such much, so much
fun. I know.
Mine would have been better than yours, but you know.
Yeah, I know, anyway. But it doesn't matter. It's not a competition. Only everything is, obviously.
Yep.
I'll tell you the other thing I glaze over with and have realised that I have got to get a grip over some life skills, Judith.
There are
many things. Okay, I think that I just have let... Because I met Jeff when I was 22, and quite a lot of people might sympathise with this or just think, oh, you silly cow. I've just let him do some of the boring glaze over stuff. Do you know what I mean? I mean, right.
Exactly so, what you... Come on, I want a list. Come okay, on, my what's
car,
some things?
I'll just start with the main one because my car is so shit, you know, that I've got this ridiculous affection for a car that doesn't really work as a car.
Yes, I don't understand that affection.
It just sits outside my car, my house, and it looks a bit like a car. But once you get in it, it doesn't behave like a car. It doesn't do the stuff cars do. Like go. So at the moment, for the last month, every time I've gone out in it, it's had to be shocked into going. It's had to be jump started. I've got my own kit. Yes.
You're joking.
I'm not.
Well, for
joking.
Goodness sake, I thought you were like being going, a bit exaggerating. No. But that is ridiculous.
You know, it's like going out with a bloke that has to have his heart started every time. That has to lie on the floor and gets, you know, those things that they see on the telly. In
casualty.
Casualty.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Stand back. anyway, so he was out the other day and I wanted to just nip somewhere. And, you know, I just thought, well, I'll just take the car, just make things very easy. And obviously I got in the car because it's still got doors on it. It looks like a car, got in it and I tried the key, all that. Nah, dead. So I thought, oh, I'll just jump start it. And then I realised that, and people will be cross with me here, we're going to get some emails. I did not know how to open my bonnet. Right. I knew that there was a lever inside the car. I found that.
Because you've seen
that.
Jeff
yeah,
do
I've seen,
that.
Well, I've done that myself when he's been outside saying, pull the bloody lever. It's on the left-hand side in the passenger seat, you fool. I know that. I've done that. And then I just got out of the car. I thought I'd just, you know, pop the bonnet. Oh, I couldn't pop it. I had no idea. I had to ask her. Well, the next door neighbour had her son-in-law round, and I said, "Oh," and he said, "Oh, you know this bit?" And it's this metal kind of tag that sticks out of the grill. And
oh,
honestly,
I know what you mean. So what you're saying is that you found the bit where the lever, but you couldn't get the bonnet actually open because you'd forgotten about the little thing that tucks underneath that you have.
Yeah. But
I
there's
know
a
what
thing
you mean.
In my car. There's a little metal tag that sticks out of the grill. And I thought, you know, I'm so short-sighted, I thought it was a butterfly when I looked at it. I thought, oh, it's a funny-looking butterfly. It's got no colour and it's kind of metallic. No, it's this metal tag and you're meant to pull that.
Oh, I know. We are hopeless, aren't we? And well, I'm the same. I don't think I'm quite that bad, but I am pretty bad.
So you're going away for your painting holiday.
Mm-hmm. And you're going north.
You're going to find your style. I'm going to go up north. This is the plan, right? It was yesterday when the serious chat, you know, when the doctors came on the telly, you know, Whitty and his mate
terrifying.
Valance.
Did you watch it in real time? Did you put the telly on and watch it?
I didn't put the
down.
Telly on, Judith. Well, I did something modern. I was at my computer and I played it through the computer. The telly.
Did you? Did you know? You scamp.
I thought, look at me. I've got an email over here. I've got the telly on over here. No wonder I don't do any work. And I just sort of, my heart just sank and I thought, oh, bugger, because this is going to interfere with my plans because the plan was to go north, have a night at my mum's flat and go and see her in the nursing home. I mean, not allowed inside, but until this week.
So when you say see her, do they...
They bring them out. They bring the ladies or the gentlemen out in either wheelchairs or, you know, help them onto a bench. And
you can actually see her in person. You don't have to kind of look through the window or anything.
Well, no, I have to look through the window. I'm not allowed to go into the garden. She's not allowed out. I'm allowed in the garden. I mean, I can do a dance for her. I can do an interpretive dance.
Don't do that, Jenny.
I know, I might do that. I might, because it might cheer her up. I might get an all-in-one, a spandex all-in-one, and do sort of an interpretive dance on the front lawn of the nursing home in Lytham St Anne's. It's absolutely desperate because she is still very confused. And, you know, we've had some really difficult conversations and conversations that I haven't really known how to handle because, I mean, there's no point contradicting someone.
No, I don't think there is.
But you do feel a bit sort of mad playing along. And there's stuff about Spanish waiters on one phone call. I don't... It just goes. The conversation will go quite lucid, and then all of a sudden, we'll just flip over into just complete fantasy.
So sometimes she's there, sometimes she's not, gets it,
and then she just will go off on a tangent.
Yeah, very difficult.
Had a real go at Phoebe because Phoebe called her and she said, "Oh, you were meant to pick me up, take me back to the cottage."
No.
And she, you know, she left the cottage 4 years ago after my dad died.
Gosh.
So I mean, you know, it's tremendously hard, and I just was hoping to get some time with her, one on one, even on a bench.
Yes,
you know, because some days are really good. This morning I spoke to her, and you know, she was fine.
Yeah.
So I rang the home this morning, and apparently I'm allowed to go in the garden and wave through the window. But God in heaven, I mean, you know, a year ago I was more or less still able to sit on a knee. And you know, watch some telly and have a laugh and a glass of wine together. This is such a kind of, well, it's not what it was.
No, it isn't. No, I remember the doctor saying that my mum's dementia, it sort of goes down in steps, you know. So actually, she might stay like that and in and out of sanity for quite a long time, or in and out of her old self, I should say.
So, but how did your mum die in the end?
Well, she had a sudden heart attack, which was good, really, because so she died sort of before she got really, really, really bad, and you know, before
she was still living with
us.
You.
Yeah, she was, and she still recognised us, and she still, there were times, like you say, that she, you know, the old gene would be there, and it would just, you know, it would be worth all the kind of 70% of not gene to get the 30% when she was there, and she still, you know, she still liked to be hugged, and you know, you could still see that she really loved us to bits, and you know, it'll be the same with your mum.
Well, I'm still going up, and I'm.
Of course,
you
are. Of course, you are. Even if you just get us.
That's why I'm cross. I can't sing, Judith. You know, wouldn't that be a lovely thing?
It would be.
Or play the guitar or something, or just you know, get a little stool outside, and you know, I'm now thinking I wish I'd taken up the fucking ukulele. Because I could have sat outside my mum's home and done her a little, you know, I'm cleaning windows.
So she'll be able to hear you. I mean, she'll shout.
Now, I hear that you've bought yourself some jeans.
Yes, I have bought myself I thought, well, a bit of, you know, the autumn wardrobe, I might have to do a bit of that. But have you bought any jeans lately?
Judith, I've not been able to wear jeans for years.
Well, do you know what? As I just asked you that question, I just thought, wait a minute, have I ever seen Jenny in a pair of jeans?
No.
I'm not sure I have. Why not?
Once I grew out of a size 12, I wouldn't wear jeans.
Oh, is that a kind of style decision?
Yeah, I just didn't like my arse in jeans after possibly, you know, a big 12, small 14. You know, buying a 14 jean, but they were baggy on me. But once I was overstuffed in a 14 and I'm short of leg, I didn't like myself in jeans. So I started to buy other trousers.
So do you predate the kind of stretchy jean?
Yes, we see there's a cheat jean now, isn't it? There's the sort of jean jegging thing, you know, the elasticated one.
Yes.
Are you talking about those?
Well,
are you talking about a sort of a fake jean with a lot of elastic in but still zips?
Pretty much. I've been in that neck of the woods for quite a long time. And for the last several seasons, I have been wearing a jegging. But I did think, I quite like a sort of jean. I mean, not a kind of Levi's, because that's too complicated. So obviously I went into M&S, into the jean.
Did you go in? So you were actually in the shop?
Was in the shop. Oh, yeah, I went in the shop. Oh, do you know what happened to me? Went into M&S in Oxford, and I got to the sanitising station, you know, obviously.
Yeah, straight
very well behaved. Yeah. And this woman said to me, we're both wearing masks, she said, "Are you Judith?"
Yeah.
I said, "Yes, but I'm sorry, I can't recognise you." And she said, "You're Judith, your podcast, Judith." Isn't that sweet?
That's lovely.
Me.
Even though you're well, because people will, because you've done a picture of yourself on our podcast
wearing your mask.
So
precisely.
You should have given her £5. You should turn it into a game, and I'll do the same. Oh, you podcast,
I was so
Jenny.
Thrilled.
Yes,
I was
you won
so
your £5. Well done.
It.
Lovely. That's
yeah,
really
anyway,
lovely.
So we were both in M&S. And anyway, so I went to the jean department. I have never seen so many bloody choices in jeans. All right,
bonkers.
Listen to this. Sienna skinny. Boyfriend.
What?
These
What's
are all the different
Sienna
styles.
Skinny?
Well, I don't know. Kind of a bit kind of straight leg. But there were lots of skinnies. There was Sienna skinny. Then there was a super skinny. Then there was the body sculpting, boyfriend, wide leg. And then all of those had sort of high rise, low rise. You just think, what?
Get me some fucking jeans.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Just size 16. So in the end, I went back to the bloody jeggings.
So have you got a jegging with no zip?
Jegging. Now, the good thing about jeggings with no zips is that if you wear a sweater or a cardi, in your case, you know, it doesn't go all that lumpy bit round the middle.
Yeah.
And it minimises it. So they're all right, I was jegging. But, I mean, I was hoping for a sort of proper jean. But
did
no,
you go navy?
Jeggings.
Did you go navy?
Oh, I went navy. Of course I did. And also, the other thing is that they had kind of, you know, distressed and non-distressed. You know, there was a whole section with it where they've got bits torn out.
I think we're too old for distressed.
Oh, we are. We
didn't buy them. Yeah, if you told me, oh, Jenny, I bought some rather fashionable jeans and they're kind of distressed with great big jagged rips in the knee.
You wouldn't have approved of that. You'd have fallen out with me.
Well, I'd have said you better get yourself into a beatboxing squad, Judith.
Yes.
Because that's the look. So how's your fruit and produce going, Judith?
Well, you know, there's no show, of course, this year, just when we have such a fabulous show of apples. God, I'm gutted. I think I might have won the bloody apple section.
Well, you can't just take a basket of apples. What would you have done? Would it have been a dish that you'd made?
Well, you have two bites at the cherry, as it were. So yes, it would have been a dish that I would have made.
Yeah, what
would and it be? And it would have been. I think you normally have to do two or three varieties. You know, arranged nicely, obviously with the leaves still on the apple and so on. Gorgeous
all
little
that shit.
Things.
Yeah, in a wicker basket.
Yes, bit of a gingham. You know, or a nice linen sort of mustard type. You know, you get the idea. You could have imagined. I think I was. I think I was in there. Anyway,
I'm
no
not sure that was whether that was a bore snore or just a sort of cynical, nasty kind of. Oh, for fuck's sake! Okay,
yeah.
I just like the best produce show you did. The one I like best is when you won for your dahlia that you got from the garden centre. That was your best.
Listen,
and
don't
shining
mention
hour.
That again.
Well, it's totally, like you did secret. It by accident, but it was still brilliant.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
There's been a lot of heavy lifting in terms of the kind of apple, you know.
They're all over the floor of in the garden.
Well, they're all
they?
Over the floor, but also I can't bear to waste them. So I've basically, the freezer is stuffed full of stewed apples, you know.
Just a carpet of maggots, really. Yeah. The fallen apples, aren't
they? I'm impressed, like, you know, with all this bloody hard work I've been doing.
You know, Jeff came home, he'd seen one of his women clients, you know, doing up her house or whatever. And, and she's got some garden, you know, with cooking apples. And he brought home three massive, great, maggoty cooking apples.
Oops.
Like, you know, we expect it. Like, here's a treat. I don't want the fuckers. You know, what am I going to do with them? Great big brown bruises all over them. We're sagging in the middle. No, straight in the bin. I didn't even bother to cut the good bits out. I couldn't be arsed, Judith. I thought, no, life's too short for what they call windfalls. Life is
windfalls,
short for windfalls.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway,
I made apple jelly.
I made apple stewed apple. Got a fucking apples coming out my ears.
Anyway, at least you're keeping yourself busy. That's all I'm going to say. I think we're appled out now,
yes,
Judith.
Yes, we are.
Enough of your windfalls homemade Christmas presents. Oh, God, it's going to be a winter of that, isn't it? That's what everyone's going to get because we're going into second lockdown and everyone's going to be making things for Christmas. Mm. Oh, God. Anyway, I had a perfect day. If we are going to second lockdown, I will look back on the last Sunday that we had with absolute, you know, sort of joy. You know, you have a really lovely day accidentally. Yeah.
Oh, even better.
Yeah,
it
wasn't even planned. So
go on.
We just
what did
got
you do?
Well, we took when I was doing the pop-up gallery with Jeff, I put a couple of my paintings in and one of them sold to a Twitter follower. And she said, "Oh, I'm coming to London." And I said, "All right, I can give you the picture that you bought." And she was going to have her birthday afternoon tea in Fortnum's. I said, "Well, I can get to Fortnum's." Because I thought, well, Jeff can drive me to Fortnum's. That's easy enough. Anyway, Jeff drove me to Fortnum's, Judith, and there was a car parking space There were plenty of car parking spaces. Sunday afternoon, at about 2:30, outside Fortnum's, I could see 3 car parking spaces. And guess what? It's free as well on a Sunday.
Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
How fabulous.
So, yeah, we parked up. And then this the woman who'd bought the painting said, I'm going to be a bit late. And I said, oh, fine, because we hadn't had lunch. I thought, we'll go down Piccadilly, get some lunch. Well, we walked down past the Wolseley. And I just thought, well, on the off chance, you never know. And I just popped in and I said, would you have a table? And they said, yes. And I mean, it's because there are no tourists.
Oh, I bet.
So Jeff and I had a late lunch at the Wolseley.
Oh, how civilised.
It was so civilised. I had to take a photograph of it and put it up on the Instagram.
And now, I saw that and I thought it looked jolly nice, but a little small.
Well, you know me, Judith, I got the appetite of a tiny bird. It was poached salmon with pickled cucumber
very
on top,
nice.
A pickled cucumber kind of medley thing on top, and mayonnaise with some leaves. Jeff had a BLT with chips, so obviously I had a few of his chips.
But Jeff.
When I took the photograph, I thought, no, I'm not going to put chips on my plate. This is going to be pristine. And yeah, it was lovely. And then after that, we walked to Green Park. And it was that sort of early autumn sunshine, late afternoon.
Oh, how beautiful. Leaves just turning. Were the leaves turning?
And they were falling and turning and turning and falling. And we got deck chairs. You know, in Green Park, you can buy the green
stripy. Oh, I've seen people on those. Old-fashioned deck chairs.
Yes, £2 each per hour. I mean,
very
they're not
good.
Free. I didn't know that. I mean, I just thought, we could just sit down here. And then before you know it, some fella jumps up and says, I'm £2 an hour each. And we sat there in our deck chairs and we watched young people doing show-off yoga. Do you get a lot of that
lovely.
Where you live?
Love. No, we don't get any of that at all, no.
You
no,
see,
no,
you should start it. You should be the one who begins. And then they'll all, oh, no, this is proper show-off yoga. This is the 20-somethings who really, really kind of uber-trained yoga maestros. Ooh. And they're doing handstands on each other's hands
and
goodness, stuff like
are
that.
They really?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of yoga come circus skills. It was lovely because it was, I felt like I'd have given them money, actually, if they'd had a hat out. Because it was such a display. It was lovely. It made me feel a bit weepy because, you know, of course, I'm getting quite athletic nowadays.
I wondered how long it would take before you got onto your jogging. I wondered. Now, listen, okay. So just in case people don't know, well, they will know, won't they?
They should know by now, really, because I think it's been on the national news. I've certainly written about it in my Independent column this week. So, I mean, there's no excuse whatsoever. Yeah, I've even bought some new running trainers, Judith. I mean,
Jenny
you know
Claire
me well.
has started. Do we say jogging or is it running? What do we call it?
Judith, it's nice.
Shuffling.
Limping round the block. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a terrible kind of... I was jogging the other day. And let's face it, it's not even jogging yet, but I was attempting to jog the other day. I'm doing the couch to 5K. I've just finished week one. I'm going into week two tomorrow.
Right.
And at the moment, the stage I'm at, you have to jog for 60 seconds and then you walk for 90 seconds.
Okay.
I was doing my 60-second jog anyway, and you do about 8 of those. In the end, you do jog for 8 minutes. So I was doing one of my 60-second jogs and a man just said to me, that looks hard work.
Yeah, it did.
He sort of looked really sorry for me.
Well, listen, my reaction last week was one of shock.
Oh, you were horrified. It was so funny, Judith. Honestly, I played that bit of the podcast over and over again because it makes me hoot. It really does. Your reaction, the appalled horror, the fury and resentment.
Fury.
And the kind
there
of No, I'm the outdoorsy one. I go in the outside fresh air. I'm the one that likes that. I go cycling and swimming in the outside. You're the indoorsy one.
I wasn't expecting to react that way. It was completely and utterly.
You're turning into sisters. You're turning
myself.
Into a spare sister.
Yeah,
like when
I sort
I've worn
of
my own sister out, I can play with you and do the same wind-up kind of thing. It's really great.
Good. I am seriously impressed.
Are you still swimming every day in that outside lake?
Yes, I am. Of course I am. Of course I am.
Well, then, you know, I'm allowed to sweaty jog around. I bought new
trainers.
So
have you been today? Wait a minute. Have you been? So how was it today?
I didn't go today, Judith. It's my day off. I went
yesterday. Day off?
Yes, you're not allowed to go every day. It says on the running app, remember to have a day's rest between runs.
Right. And I am so impressed.
So I go every other day. Tomorrow, I'm already dreading. I mean, it's countdown now. It's about sort of 22 hours before I'll be going again. And, you know, I'll be going to bed tonight feeling really upset. But I lay all my stuff out, so I can't kind of ignore the fact that my jogging stuff is waiting, including new running trainers.
Yeah. Yes, I saw the photo of those. They look very, very snazzy. Were they jolly expensive?
Well, they were just under 100 quid. Yeah, but I put them on, Judith, and it was like I had little clouds underneath my heels.
Wow, was it really?
Yeah.
Nice and cushiony.
Really cushiony. And then I've ordered two sports bras from Marks and a zip-up hoodie, because I've never had a zip-up hoodie. I've never had a fleece.
Oh, I think you'll like that. I think you'll like all of that.
You're investing in
it,
one.
Which means that you'll have to do it. That's very good. I like the thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I was looking for a waterproof zip-up, because I know the weather's on the change.
Yeah, it is.
But when I was in the local sports shop, which is my local sports shop now in Herne Hill, I think they'll probably be calling me Jenny quite soon. But I couldn't fit into any of the available ladies' ones, the zip-up waterproof jacket. So I tried on the men's ones, obviously. And the only one I could actually get into was a large man's. And it came down to my knees, so I wouldn't be able to run in it. But honestly, everything in the shop was like Barbie-sized. But at least I could get into the shoes. So that's
indeed
good.
Well, I am genuinely impressed, Jenny. I mean, bloody good on you, actually. But, you know.
Well, and yet. Okay, it's time for our culture roundup now, Judith, and any emails that have caught our fancy.
Yes.
Did you see the David Nicholls Us on television?
I did.
Right.
And I loved it, of course. Okay. I love Tom Hollander.
I love Tom Hollander.
It's a bit little, though. I don't think I could go to bed with him, really. Not that, you know, that's the kind of...
No, it's always first on your mind. Judith, I know you. It still comes up. It still crops up. You look at men and you think, you know, would I be too tall for him in bed? It's one of your default settings.
It is.
It just is. It's hardwired into you. Yeah, I'm just the right height for Tom Hollander. That's all I'm going to say.
Isn't he good? He's real. I love Tom Hollander. I love everything he does. And I loved particularly that scene where he's chasing after her in the car and his little legs are kind of going 10 to the dozen.
Yeah, but he was a good runner, Judith. I think
very
he's done
good
Couch
runner.
To 5K.
Yeah,
I really do.
Good.
I mean, I was watching that looking at his running style, obviously, and I forgot the drama for a bit. I thought, Hollander's a bit of a runner. I think he's a bit too nice for that character. I've read the book. I'm a big fan of David Nicholls, A, because I like his writing, and B, because he is one of the nicest, most supportive men in fiction.
And say if
yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's
if
nice
I've got
know.
A book coming out, he will tweet on his Twitter feed, you know, about the book. He kind of celebrates other authors. He hasn't got that mean-spirited kind of, ooh, everybody else's success means that I can't be successful thing, which I have, obviously. No, he's had great successes and he's generous and I adore him. But there's a little bit of me that thought while I was watching it, I wonder whether Martin Clunes would have been better at that character.
Oh, because a bit colder and a bit... Well, yes. I mean, I haven't read the book. And at the moment, I can't really see
why their marriage is in any trouble.
Because
he's so adorable.
Yeah, he's so adorable. It doesn't look too bad to me. I mean, au contraire, really. So, no, I don't really get it. But presumably it will unfold, will it? And that we'll kind of realise why she wants to go? I don't know.
Well, I think it's because he's meant to be sort of uptight. But Hollander is sort of physically not very uptight. And that's why I'm just wondering whether Clunes... Anyway, lots of people wouldn't have seen this yet, and it's really worth watching. So it's on... I think it's on the iPlayer. What do you think, Judith?
Yes, it's definitely on the iPlayer, and the whole series is, and I've loved it.
Have you watched the whole thing?
We might sort of motor on and stuff. But I suppose what it's about is kind of whether you should settle for something as you get older or not. And you know, the situation obviously is that the wife has kind of... You know, they have quite
she's
a
bored.
Nice... She's bored and, you know, the son's about to leave home and she's decided, well, as she puts it, you know, the dread of the box set and that kind of, you know, the routine.
Yeah, when she
and
said
so
that,
on.
I thought, there's not much wrong with the box set, love.
Exactly
you start with The Sopranos. That'll take your marriage on for a good 6 months. Don't you worry, dear.
That's exactly what I thought.
It's the saving grace.
Yeah, but quite. So she, but she's decided she wants presumably adventure and sort of pastures new and not sort of to go sort of quietly into routine as she gets older. I just think, well, really, love? Really?
Yeah, I know there's a bit of you that goes, oh, yes, that's interesting, but can you be asked, really? No. And what if you don't find anybody else? And isn't it better the devil you know?
Exactly.
I mean, generally, it'd be really interesting to hear from anybody who has been in that situation, decided that it is best to jump ship.
Yeah.
Because I think
it
most
would.
Of us cling to the wreckage, don't we? We just go, oh, no, I'm staying put. I'm, you know, I'm sort of, this is safe and this is okay. And on, you know, when the good times are good, it's actually really lovely. Any other telly for you, Judith?
I've been watching Mary Berry's Comfort Food, which is, well, very, very comforting, really. And isn't she great? I do love Mary Berry.
Yeah, I wasn't that keen on her until I met her, and then I totally changed my tune. I think she's fantastic. Yeah,
It's very comforting telly, and we are going to need quite a lot of that, I suspect.
Mm-hmm. I'm having quite a good time with books. I really want to recommend this one, actually. It's on Audible, and, well, I'm listening to it on Audible. It's available in all the other formats, as they say. But this is by a journalist called Gavandra Hodge, who's worked on lots of magazines, including The Tatler, and she's been deputy editor on that and the Evening Standard magazine. And it's basically this book about her childhood. And I don't usually do, because that screams Ms. Lit to me, you know, that sort of, oh, I had a worse childhood than anybody else in the whole wide world. But this isn't like that. It's kind of about the fact that she lost her younger sister, her 9-year-old sister, when they were on holiday in Tunisia. She had, arrived at their holiday destination with a virus that basically claimed her life more or less overnight. And
Is this based on truth? It's totally true.
And it's about how she was so traumatised by this incident, she forgot her sister. She lived all her teens and early 20s in this sort of very rickety, rackety, drinking heavy drugs, and just kind of absolutely blanking this, always remembering the incident, but not being able to remember her sister at any other time apart from dying. So, and it's just about her, this weird upbringing with this, her mother was a model and her father was basically a junkie and a drug dealer, to, you know, those sort of terrible, this is going back to the late 80s, early 90s, all the Jamie Blandfords and all those people that used to take overdoses, and the posh Chelsea and Knightsbridge gang that had too much money. And it's this sort of background of, and she ended up at Cambridge. I mean, despite sort of being off her face on cocaine before her GCSEs, she, you know, she's a clever girl. And it's just,
It's really unusual.
Yeah, because,
but it's also about trauma, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah,
really.
And it
how
is.
You deal with
and
trauma.
Oh, you say trauma. I say trauma. It's about loving a father so much that you're prepared to forgive him the fact that he sold all your friend's drugs and actually got off with one of your friends and lived with him for quite a number of years and behaved absolutely abominably, but was this charismatic life and soul-er. It's really, really interesting. So I do genuinely think that a lot of people enjoy that. And I'm still enjoying David Mitchell's Utopia Avenue, which is surprisingly camp, actually.
What
about you, books-wise? Yeah.
I just started The Lying Life of Adults by Eleanor Ferranti, which I'm not really warming to at the moment.
Well,
I'm just
all the others. I never managed the Friends ones.
No, well, I did the first one and then I saw the national production with my friend I find them quite hard and I don't think it's been particularly well read, but I'm just at that thing, you know, with a book where you're sort of thinking, right, okay, come on, I've got a bash on here.
You've just changed over as well. You've done your transition from The Familiars, which you were really, really enjoying.
I loved that.
So you've got to come out of that world and enter into the new world.
It's
and sometimes
a bit like that,
it's quite
it?
Difficult. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I need to keep going with that. So yes, there you go.
Emails from the gang. Loads and loads of support for me and June and the situation that we're finding ourselves in, which isn't something that I saw coming, and I think that's been one of the hardest things to deal with is the shock and surprise element of it. And we've had some advice as well. I've had some advice from Lisa, who's 55 and a third, who says bum bags are the way to go for running. to carry keys, phone, tissues and Lipsil. Bum bags are so part of the uniform of the gang. Now,
they are indeed.
That's
they
you,
are
isn't indeed. It? You're a bum bag girl, aren't you, Judy?
Yes, well, I am. And I thought Lisa sort of, I think she's definitely a gang member because she has to carry keys, phone, tissues and Lipsil.
Yeah. So any other emails caught you fancy,
Hannah, 53¾, loving all the ages, of course, has been listening to us while running 500 miles for charity. Bloody hell. Well done, Hannah.
At this point, Hannah did tell us that she didn't do it all in one go because that would have been mad.
Yes, that
but
was
she
in
has
brackets.
She's achieved something spectacular. So
she
well done,
has.
Hannah.
She you, has. Yes. Yeah, that's and brilliant. Candida, 53¼, says she's finally, because she's been doing listening to the back catalogue, I think, that she's finally tried the M&S cheese coleslaw and it is a game changer. Yeah, well, see, there you go.
You see, yes, I know.
You never
have
first.
You'll never have a half empty tub of that in the fridge for long because it calls you in the middle of the night. It'll call you downstairs. You'll be there just with you, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll have your fist in the cheese coleslaw. Listen, yeah. Everybody, Judith, you've got to get ready to go on your holiday.
I have, and you've got to get ready to go north.
Yes,
and Daisy's got to be packing for where she's going, but not say, had we? But she's going somewhere very, very sunny and lovely.
Well, we're keeping fingers crossed that we all manage to get on our trip safely and have lovely times and get home safely. And you lot, keep yourselves safe. We're all confused about what we're allowed and what we're not allowed to do at the moment. But whatever you do, just wear a mask and enjoy yourselves.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
all right.
Lots of love to everybody.
Yeah, lots of love to everybody. And send us some emails as usual. Olderwiderpod. I've forgotten
Christ
again.
You just forgot to write this down. Daisy, you need to come in here.
Yeah, it's olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Do you want the Instagram as well?
Yes, please. .com.
You're writing it down.
I'm writing it down, Judith. I'm going to leave it on a special sticky on my desk. olderwiderpod@gmail.com. Yep. What's our Instagram, Daisy?
Older and Wider Podcast.
That's where the confusion... Say it now. Older and Wider Podcast.
Is that it? Older and Wider Podcast. That's it.
Yes, if they search that on Instagram.
Why can we not remember these things, Jenny? I tell you what, the bloody brain cells are going, aren't they?
Well, we'll all be joining June one day. But I think what it is, Judith, is because the Gmail is just olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
Yes, it's cunning, isn't it?
And then the Instagram has got an and in it, so it's older and wider podcast.
Throws us every time, doesn't it? One of these days we'll get it.
It really does. It
throws
us. Anyway, listen, I'm going to go and have a nice, refreshing cup of coffee.
Very nice.
I might go for a wander in the garden in my bra because it's very,
very lovely. Very
lovely. I'll leave you that image.
All right.
Okay.
Bye. Lovely to talk to Jenny. Bye, gang.
Lots of love.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.